2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Dave and DeGenevieve, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM. Dave and DeGenevieve have inside sources.
Every day at this time, we've got inside sources, and we've got Boyd Matheson of Inside Sources. You hear every day in the afternoon from 1 to 3 on KSL News Radio. What we're talking about right now, President Joe Biden met with several low-ranking Republicans in the White House discussing that $2.3 trillion infrastructure bill. Dave, so is Biden going bipartisan?
Well, that's a great question, Debbie.
Sorry to break into your laughter, Dave, but I had to. I had to add my own.
I did say low-ranking Republicans.
Oh, bipartisan is such a great word. What does it mean?
We love the word bipartisan, and actually we are for it. I think that's safe to say that everybody would like to see a little more of that. But I think the interesting thing is that it's sort of losing its meaning. President Biden has used it in a really new way. If you go all the way back to the campaign trail, he talked about bipartisanship. He's talked about it now. But now, instead of talking about actually getting votes from Republicans, he's talking about polling of many Republicans want this. Ooh. Or if you poll Republicans, they want this. And that is what they are now framing as bipartisan support. Not votes, but attitudes of voters from the other side.
So let's take you back to the campaign trail on a campaign stop in Cincinnati, Ohio. He was then Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden. He made a pitch, like you talked about bipartisanship.
We need to revive the spirit of bipartisanship in this country. I know that sounds bizarre in light of where we are. The spirit of being able to work with one another. When I say that, and I said that from the time I announced, I was told that maybe that was the way things used to work, Joe. You got a lot done before, Joe, but you can't do that anymore. Well, I'm here to tell you and say we can.
Well, bipartisan. It does feel like he's wordsmithing a little bit here. And there's nothing I hate more than wordsmithing in politics. It depends on what your definition of the word is. Right?
Yeah, that's right. And I think what the president has done, and again, he's not the only one to blame in the divide we have in our politics. And I would remind people, a division in politics is not a division amongst the American people. Those are different issues. But what the president is doing now, he's passed his legislation with zero Republican votes on his significant issues. The infrastructure bill will be the same. It will be all Democratic votes. No Republicans will vote there. And yet he will call it a bipartisan bill because he invited four Republicans to the White House, because he talked to Republican voters who
four?
Said that, it was four, yeah. Low ranking.
It's better than one, not as good as
but
10.
But it was four. And I always get nervous when he starts to sound like Karl Malone, when he's talking to himself and about himself in the third person.
Thank you for pointing that out.
Dave was struggling with that. I could tell he was not tracking.
Yeah.
Who's he talking about at this point? Boyd, isn't polling a more accurate way to look at an issue versus the politicization of any one thing in Washington? I would think that if you reach out to the polls and ask, you know, John Q. Public, that you're going to have a better chance of knowing what the people are thinking.
Yeah, it is. And that's it's an important thing to make sure you have a finger on the pulse of what is happening in real America. And then the challenge is to get leaders to come together around those things in a way that makes sense. So, for example, with the With the transportation bill, we're talking about $2.3 trillion. Only about $700 billion of it is actually going to roads and bridges and infrastructure. So now they're debating what infrastructure is. Is infrastructure health care and child care and
medical, technology?
Or technology, I think we can get in. I think that is sufficient. But tax policy surely is not. But then the problem becomes is then is if you frame that as, hey, we had a bipartisan effort. If you didn't get any votes and you did everything else by executive order, that doesn't feel very bipartisan. And again, some of that lies at the feet of the Republicans. Much of it lies at the feet of the president and his administration. But my worry in all of this is that we are losing control of the word. And when bipartisanship no longer has any meaning, that's going to take us to a new high and lows, I think, when it comes to our politics.
Well, Debbie wants to talk about this situation that happened in February. So I'm going to talk about myself in the third person, as the president does. And Debbie wants to know, this bipartisan pitch really fizzled back in February when the president invited 10 Republican senators, Utah Senator Mitt Romney among that group, when they took their stimulus counterproposal to the Oval Office to meet with the president. And guess what he did with that counterproposal? Nothing. They did not want to, put the same price tag on it that the president did. I think that they wanted more of a means test. I can't remember the exact language in it regarding how much a stimulus payment would be per person and per family. And he did nothing with that in the end. So, again, where's the bipartisanship in that? If you're not going to do anything beyond a meeting, then why even hold the meeting?
Is it just for looks and for
the cameras?
Yeah, if the meeting becomes a photo op and a messaging opportunity that, again, we're trying to do bipartisan, that's very detrimental to the process. The fact that nothing was even considered or included into the bill tells you where everything went after the meeting. And it was basically the round file. And so because the president knows he doesn't need any Republican votes, he has more than enough in the House. He has just barely enough in the Senate. So as long as he can keep, Joe Manchin and a few of those folks that are the moderate Democrats on board, he doesn't need any votes from any Republicans. So, again, hard to get to the bipartisan. You got to prove it, like you said, Debbie.
Right.
Put something in the bill. I mean, if he would have even taken one thing from that meeting and put it into the bill, it would have been different.
How many voters do you think really bought into this pitch for bipartisanship? Because we heard the same thing with President Obama, the great deal maker, President Donald Trump, right? He ran on the same thing. Everyone claims they're going to work with the other person, and then it never happens. How many times are we going to get sucked into this?
Yeah, and actually, you know what the real irony is? So if you take the last three administrations, you know who did the most bipartisan, who actually got bipartisan bills passed?
I'm going to say President Obama.
Donald J.
Trump.
I was thinking
of the Great Recession.
Generational things in terms of criminal justice reform. That was a massive bipartisan effort because he's willing to not do the partisan stuff. He simply was interested in the deal. It may be the most fascinating legacy to someone that most Americans and most historians will say was a very divisive president. His legacy may well be a different kind of coalition building. Because if you agreed with him on one issue, he'd make that deal. He didn't care what your positions were on the other 99. And I'm telling you, that is not bad. And if you listened at all a couple of weekends ago, there was something about sometimes we may need to change parties from election to election and not be focused on politics or parties or politicians themselves.
Is there a gold standard, Boyd, when you look back to politicians over the years who you could point to and say, that is someone who knew how to work bipartisan?
Probably one of the greatest ones and one of the most underappreciated was Democratic Senator Joe Lieberman. And I'm a big Joe Lieberman fan. He was a Democrat. Of course, he ran as the vice president nominee with Al Gore. He had the ability to have real conversations with people. And he actually called it the principled that compromise was a virtue. And he looked at it very differently and was willing to do things with both sides of the aisle in a pretty significant way.
Boyd Matheson, as always, look forward to your show, 1 o'clock this afternoon, only on KSL News Radio. Of course, Inside Sources with Boyd Matheson every single day. Straight ahead, you know, this man who was threatening that Salt Lake City store, it's called The Stockist, I think it's on 9th and 9th, he was arrested. Originally, he wasn't arrested, but police tracked him down yesterday. It all had to do with the not wearing a mask, and he wasn't wearing one, was asked to put one on. Well, straight ahead, the owner of Stockist is going to call Dave and I. She's going to call the show because she's saying, look, I need more help. Retail outlets and stores across Utah need more help, not necessarily even from police, but from Capitol Hill. I cannot wait to ask her more about that.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.